Hey guys, thank you for listening to Kinda Dating, the comedy dating podcast, where I, your host Natasha Chandel, and some really cool guests break down the dating world and try to figure out why the fuck do we all have commitment issues? Because it's Thanksgiving week, this is a really great topic we have today. It's baggage, going from hateful to grateful. Let's do this. So thank you, as always. Just to start off, it is Thanksgiving week, and I just want to say I'm extremely, extremely grateful for all of you fans. Thank you so much for listening to our show, for sending us reviews, for sending me messages. This show means a lot, not just to myself, but the whole team at Meltdown. Thank you from Mason and Aisha and all of us here. As always, we ask you to subscribe, rate and review the show, and if you could please follow us on socials at Kinda Dating. And just send us an email or your stories or your thoughts at kindadating@gmail.com. And hey, guys, I'm going to be like the Uber driver. Give us 5 stars. Thanks. All right. We also have a review to share with you. This is a great review. It was very touching and meant a lot to me, by Bouncy AVS.
This podcast really hits the spot. Natasha delivers a beautiful combination of humor and vulnerability and helps us find comfort in the realization that we're all in this mess together. Great insights from both guys and girls who are not afraid to share the good, the bad, and the ugly of their experiences in the La La Land dating scene.
Bouncy AVS, that's like the nicest message anybody has ever sent me, so thank you so much. This show wouldn't be possible without our guests being open and sharing their messages, and I'm really glad that anything I share can be of benefit to others. Even if it's just, you know, seeing yourselves in our stories, I think that's the best way to share and hopefully inspire people to make changes. That said, let's get into this. Today's topic is baggage. I thought this was really important considering it's Thanksgiving. And I have an amazing guest here with us today. His name is Scott Tobin. He's a family therapist who's practicing in Culver City in California. Thank you so much for being here, Scott.
Hi, Natasha.
Hi.
It's my pleasure.
This is a big topic. So thank you ahead of time for taking this on.
Again, my pleasure.
Why do we call it baggage?
Well, the events of our lives leave wounds in us. Mm-hmm. We often think of trauma as big events of our lives. Mm-hmm. You know, we think of it as soldiers with PTSD. But really, most of us are victims, for lack of a better word, of the more micro traumas. Sometimes just the ones growing up, mm-hmm. normal developmental and age-appropriate things that we endure and have to learn from. Oftentimes it's daily traumas, right. The way we're treated in our own homes of origin.
Right.
And that becomes stuff that we carry with us because we shape what we think about ourselves around those traumas.
And you can keep getting all this baggage and traumas like from any age of your life. It starts really young, but it can
Absolutely.
Keep happening every single day as you're growing older.
If you allow it, yes.
Yeah.
Because it's not the events of our lives so much that shape us, but it's the meaning that we attach to them. That's what's important for people to understand is we often think that just because something happened to us, it happened because of us.
Right.
And that's not so.
Yeah. I have been notorious for having a lot of baggage, guys. Okay, I'm just going to put it out there. And it took me a long time. I mean, I had like every type of fucking baggage you could talk about. But, you know, from parental to abusive relationships to all those kinds of things. And it took me a long time to be able to release myself of the weight that I carried because of it, and a lot of work involved. That's why I really wanted to talk about this subject this week. I thought it was really important because some of it, besides work, is also attitude. It's so much about like believing that we can be free of these things with the election around. You know, the results of the election, I think, brought a lot of people down collectively. Mm-hmm. And we, you know, just spoke about this before we started recording, but how so many triggers and these minor or traumas that people go through, these wounds have been opened again for a lot of people because of these
Very
elections.
Yes.
And I wanted to talk, you know, a little bit later about how people can learn to process that and how they can move forward in a positive way. Mm. Because, you know, with the holidays coming, we should try to be in a happier mood. Mm-hmm. And it's possible, even though shitty things can be happening around us.
Well, that's one of the unfortunate things of life. Mm-hmm. But the more one is able to accept that and embrace that, the easier it becomes for one to reconcile and work mm-hmm. through things when they happen. Because bad things are going to happen in life. They just
right.
do.
Yeah.
Things don't go our way.
Yeah.
We get disappointed. We get hurt. And the more that you can accept that, you know, life comes with negativity sometimes mm-hmm. and unpleasant events, the better able you're to work through it, mm-hmm. not be surprised as much by it. Certainly
yeah.
hurt, but not knocked down as
yeah.
far.
That was definitely one of my issues when I was growing up as a kid, was I was such a naive child and I really believed everybody was a really good person. And my dad would always tell me, he's like, they're not. And I'd be like, yes, they are. Maybe people aren't nice to you because you're not a nice person, you know? Mm, and I was just like, maybe people don't like you, but they like me. And then when shit happened, I was so surprised.
Right.
It just always threw me for a loop when I was young. And then, of course, as you grow older, you start realizing there's all types of people out there. And like you said, negative things happen and it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we try to, and especially in the dating world too, we try to protect ourselves so much that we're always like surprised. And then we feel like we'll always be broken if anything negative happens.
I'm hearing some personal history there, and I understand
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
But that is a common experience.
But, you know,
part
of this
absolutely.
Like show has always been, we call it kind of dating, because nowadays nobody ever says they're in a relationship anymore. And part of that is there are a lot of commitment. There is a lot of commitment issues for people. And
sure.
I think they, including myself, who, you know, used to have serious commitment issues.
Mm-hmm. It's scary to commit.
Exactly.
You leave yourself very very open and vulnerable to be hurt.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's because we carry so much of that baggage with us that we have a hard time letting it go and just being open and accepting that, hey, listen, you know, when you take a risk, you bring in the good, but you also bring in the bad.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't like to experience the bad.
No, they don't. And sometimes people will fall into the trap of holding on to some baggage,
mm-hmm.
Because it gives them, it can actually, even though it hurts them in the end, and it can be unpleasant to be thinking about and to relive, but anger can be a very seductive kind of mistress, if you will.
Oh, yeah.
We can feel very righteous that we're right. And so holding on to it can feel
mm-hmm.
can feel good, even though it feels bad at the same time.
Yeah.
But it, in the end, it just...
It's so true. We like to sometimes self-loathe. We like to sit in the despair and like feel it, because somehow...
Sometimes,
I don't know. Sometimes like just even feeling anything, even if it's negative, is better than not feeling anything at all.
Well, it's also important to remember that it's a lot easier to feel anger than to really feel what's going on underneath the
mm-hmm.
anger. Because anger is really just the tip of the iceberg.
Right.
You know, just like an iceberg in the ocean,
mm-hmm.
you only see the top part that's,
yeah.
you know, that's sticking out. That's maybe, you know, 5-10% of it. The rest of it is under the water, and you don't see it. And that's really where most of our feelings are under the water.
When...
The hurt.
Yeah.
The betrayal.
That's
the sadness.
Yeah.
And those are the feelings that people really want to avoid as more, you know, most commonly.
Right.
Yeah.
And as an actor, I remember the best lesson I ever learned, and it ended up being like a lesson in life, was they were like, you can't play the emotion of anger. There is no emotion as anger. Anger is loud pain.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so even as an actor, we had an angry scene, they would be like, don't play the surface level anger. Play the pain. Like, where is that coming from?
Mm.
And you're right. That's a very hard thing to process when, because we don't like to feel negative emotions.
No, we sure don't.
Yeah. What kinds of emotional baggage? Wait, do you guys even call this emotional baggage? Like, what's, is there a professional term for this? And
trauma.
Okay. So what kind of trauma is most detrimental to relationships?
Well, most detrimental, certainly any kind of abuse or neglect as a youngster, because that really shapes not just your view of yourself, which it could have just horrible damaging effects on your self-esteem, your how you value yourself, but also your belief about the world. Is the world a safe place?
Right.
And can I trust in this world? Can I feel safe around other people? So certainly abuse is the biggest trauma. Loss, certainly. If you have a significant loss in your life, especially at an early age, that kind of grief can really run deep and really question your feeling of security that relationships can last, that people will that are here today will be here tomorrow.
Yeah.
So those are probably the two biggest.
And in your experience, in your practice, what kinds of how do those traumatic moments kind of present themselves in relationships? Like, what kinds of things do people do that actually hurt their relationships? You know, mistrust is one. I used to have serious trust issues. It was like I was cheated on more than once, and multiple times in different relationships. And there came a point that for me, the way that I was kind of expressing it, my baggage in a relationship was, everybody was guilty until proven innocent. It was not the other way around. For me, I just assumed people were doing shit.
Right.
Sometimes I was even seeking it out. I just kept such a distance because I assumed that they were. So I was like, fuck you. Like, I'm not even going to get close because, that this is, you're probably doing some shit. And I don't even want to know. I'm just going to do my own shit.
You just hit on a couple of very big ones. The way people will commonly react and bring their trauma into a relationship, they'll be very guarded.
Yeah.
They'll have a hard time being present and trusting in the relationship. And they'll begin to act out instead of communicating. You know, you're not feeling like you're able to trust the person. Instead of communicating that and making a request of them to do things that help you feel more secure in the relationship, whether it be communicating more.
Yeah.
Being more reliable with time and things like that.
Yeah.
Instead, if you just act out, you kind of head things off at the pass. So you're protecting yourself that way because you're bracing for something.
And what other kinds of things have you seen? You know, I mean, even people getting depressed or anxious, is that also like a symptom of having baggage?
Certainly, absolutely. I mean, we experience traumas in our life. We experience loss. Again, those wounds run deep, and they can leave people. Sometimes some people are very severely depressed. In other cases, it may not be a clinical, if you will, depression that plagues people's general functioning in their life. They're able to work and have friends, but when something triggers them that is familiar to a wound of their past, for one person, it might just kind of blow by them like a breeze and they're able to keep moving forward in life. But for someone else, it's been wounded in that way.
Yeah.
And it presses that button. It can really knock them down. It can be hard for them to get back up. And then begins the process of, they just say, see, this is exactly the kind of what I thought. Or it feeds into the narrative that they've had about themselves, that I'm no good, or their narrative about the world. See, the world really isn't a trusting place, or you can't trust guys or women.
I used to say that a lot. I'd be like, fuck dudes. I've talked about it briefly on the show a little bit, that I, many years ago was in a very abusive relationship with somebody. And when I came out of it, I was just so broken that I had a lot of PTSD kind of stuff for a long time, and people didn't understand because people just assume you only have PTSD when you're a war veteran.
Right.
And but there were certain, because that relationship was emotionally, mentally, physically abusive in like all levels, when I heard people say phrases that he used to say, holy shit.
Right.
It would. I literally wanted to bolt. If a guy said something that reminded me, if he approached me in a way that he used to approach me, if you know, if he looked like him, and I remember once I was dating somebody who was just such a shithead, and his behavior, for some reason, sparked that part of me that reminded me of my crazy ex that I remember being at work once, and I was literally shaking, and I couldn't, like, I didn't know what was happening. Like, I almost like blanked out, and I didn't know where I was for a second. And for like a couple minutes, I was just shaking. And then when I got out of it, I was like, whoa, what the fuck was that? And I realized it was literally like a hardcore PTSD trigger, because I was having flashes everything going through. And these things are real. Like, this is the stuff people carry
because
they're not dealing with what's happening in life or haven't processed it yet.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Anything else that like comes to, you know?
Well, no, you've really hit on it. I mean, certainly it's an extreme and truly traumatic example.
Yeah.
Because your physical safety sounded like it was at risk at times.
Yeah, towards the end.
Yeah. And while most people may not necessarily experience that, though many do, unfortunately, most of the traumas we suffer in our lives really are about the integrity of who we are as people, you know, our value. Now, intellectually, we can kind of grow to understand, well, that just questioned my sense of who I am, but I know intellectually I'm a valuable person.
Yeah.
You can grow to that place, but our brains operate differently.
Yeah.
They don't really have an intellect. They just, you know, they operate, you know, they're millions of years old. And when there is a trigger, there's that fight or flight response goes off because your brain is sensing a danger in your environment, a danger to you as an individual. So when people, like you just described, you'd be in panic, you would be shaking, even at just the sight or sound of something that was familiar, that is your old, just mammalian portion of your brain just triggered and saying, ooh, there is a threat here in my environment, putting me at risk. So it takes a lot of work for one to be able to get to a place where they say, okay, this is really bringing back a very unpleasant memory, and but I'm actually safe right now.
Yeah.
I'm an empowered person. I can protect myself now. I can take care of myself now. I can set boundaries with anyone who wants to not treat me well. But it takes people that have been traumatized. It can take a while for them to get to that place.
And everybody's trauma is, you know, very different. And that's always something that's important to say, that
absolutely,
you might not have had to go through the same thing as I did to feel the same amount of pain. You know, to somebody,
that's
even
right,
just a breakup with somebody that they really, really loved.
That's very true.
Can break them to the point that I was broken, you know. And
no, it's very true, because we're each born, if you will, and even raised to have our own resiliency. Some have more, some have less. It's kind of in our baseline, in our constitution, if you will. Some people are just prone to maybe be a little bit more sensitive, so they will be knocked down a little bit further than someone else maybe that has a little bit more resiliency, either just naturally in them, or that they were raised to develop.
Yeah. And also important to talk about is like people's childhood factor, right? That I feel like that must be the biggest thing people come in with. Is that the biggest thing people come in with?
Well,
just like they're
they don't come
up
in with it.
Right.
It's they talk about their lives in the present, but we can't really understand our lives in the present without understanding the connectedness to our lives in the past.
Right. Yeah.
You know, the messages that we were taught about who we are and what the world is like growing up, how we developed a view of ourselves and a view of the world growing up, which was shaped by what was around us. Because when we were children, our parents, are the world. Our home is the world.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not a safe world, if it's a hostile world, if it's a shaming world, we're going to internalize these feelings about ourselves. Mm-hmm. We're going to feel shameful. We're going to not value ourselves. We're going to have low self-esteem in many cases. But if our world is positive and encouraging and nurturing, right, we'll have a view of the world. Perhaps it's more aspirational and hopeful, mm-hmm, and positive about ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Have you noticed that when people come in, is emotional baggage different for guys versus girls?
Well, I like to think, I mean, there are certainly some things that are more specific to females, you know, than to men. But in the end, you know, the commonality among humans is we all need to feel valued. We all, mm-hmm, you know, the water that helps us all grow, if you will, is, you know, validation, acceptance, encouragement. This is our nourishment. This is what helps us, you know, develop into thriving, mm-hmm, human beings with a good self, with good self-esteem. Mm-hmm. So, in the absence of that, we tend to not do so well.
Right.
Yeah.
Speaking of, just like the different kinds of baggage, what kinds of experiences are more specific to girls?
Well, more specific to women. Let me see here. I would say certainly the fear of being vulnerable.
Right.
Okay.
You would think that that's like more of a guy thing.
Well, you would think, and it is.
Yeah.
It is a guy thing, but it's really both, but women tend to be more, they talk about their fear of that a lot more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is, again, so interesting because you think, you know, or the perception is women, like, we wear our heart on our sleeves. We're so emotional and
right,
we are ready to put ourselves out there. And actually, somebody sent me a funny meme yesterday where it showed people think, so it was a diagram of a guy and a girl. And for the guy, it said what people think. And the heart sign was at the guy's groin, and the heart sign for the girl was in her heart. And they said, but what's reality is the heart sign for the guy was in his heart, and the heart sign for the girl was in her head.
Mm. That sounds right to me.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Like women think more, men just feel more.
Mm-hmm.
That's so weird. I think it's like a... I was actually surprised by that because I feel like that's the opposite of what we're made to believe. That men are maybe the more thinkers and don't and feel less, and women are the emotional ones who like put themselves out
there. We're not actually made to feel that way. I mean, our culture allows women to be more open and fluid with their feelings. That's a very feminine
trait. I don't fucking talk
about
my feelings at all. I don't talk about feelings to anybody except here on the show, guys, to all of you.
Well, then I feel very lucky that that's good and honored. But men are not given as much permission to talk about their feeling. It's not, you know, our culture doesn't really give the men the message that that's a very masculine thing to do.
Yeah.
So men do guard that. Mm-hmm. But hey, anyone that listens to country music, right? No, men
it's
have
true.
Feelings.
Yeah.
Right? Right?
Well,
every song has all that, you know, woman, I done it wrong and I feel terrible and I want her back.
Yeah.
And of course, all the women's songs, right, are very aspirational. I'm done with that man and I'm moving on, right?
Right. And it's true because I talk to my girlfriends all the time, and I think one of our biggest pet peeves is guys tend to talk like they express their feelings right away without really thinking about it. And women, we tend to think before we speak about our feelings because we want to make sure we're not leading somebody on.
Sure.
We're not, you know, opening up. But guys, they'll be like, I fucking love you.
Yeah,
you're my
shit.
Everything. Shit, I could see myself with you for the rest of my life, like after a few weeks. And then girls are like, he said he could see me with, like, for the rest of my life, our lives together. And then you know, 2 months later, he's
I
like,
think younger women are wise to know that men sometimes say things before they really
think
about it.
That took me a long time to realize. I was like, oh, you're just talking shit. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. I get it.
Like, it's not because guys are bad.
Of course.
They're just thinking it in the moment.
Yeah.
And in the moment, they can really feel it.
Yeah.
You know, and it can feel very
like,
true
how
to them.
How come guys don't feel the responsibility of their words?
Maybe that's a whole nother show.
Yeah. Right?
I don't know if that's entirely true.
I know.
But
guys, I like you. I mean, obviously, I like you. I need you.
But at the same time, we can all do, and certainly young men can do a better job of really think about the weight of their words.
Right.
And certainly, and we could all do a better job of thinking about that.
Yeah. And, you know, I didn't want to miss the point that you had made before when I was asking you, you know, for guys and girls, the experience, is it different? And it came up a little bit about being vulnerable and wanting to feel validated and all that kind of thing in relationships. And one thing I've learned from the elections, like I generally have a belief that any action we do is to kind of prove our existence to the world. Like a kid is acting up because they're trying to say, hey, parents, I'm fucking here. Look at me. And, you know, a guy and a girl in a relationship, somebody acts out because they're trying to say, listen to me, I'm here. And we feel like if somebody doesn't hear us, we don't exist. And
All need to feel like we belong.
Yes.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
This election was a really good example of what we were saying, a population of people who didn't feel heard, didn't feel
Very
like they
true.
Existed,
right.
And we shamed them into silence. And by being like, if you supported this person, you're an idiot. You're
That's our
an
culture
asshole.
Note, right?
You're
yeah.
a moron. Yeah. I'm unfriending you. I don't want to even have anything to do with you.
Right.
And then they went away into silence. And on the only day it mattered, they made their existence heard.
They did. It's an unfortunate reality of our, not just our political culture, but I think in general in our culture. Where it's the attitude of, well, you know, I'd agree with you, but then we'd both be wrong kind of thing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, no, it's my way. And that's unfortunate. We definitely need to do a better job of trying to walk in someone else's shoes and really listen to them and hear what they're having to say, because everybody does have a perspective. We may not agree, and we may even find it very offensive, but, yeah, we have to be able to listen to each other. Otherwise, we're going to have these enormous divisions.
Yeah, because now, you know, the same people who had shamed those people into silence are now feeling the pain of their own existence being, or what they feel is their existence being threatened. And they are now being like, what's going to happen to me?
Right.
And, you know, it's trying to remind everybody, you're going to be okay. We're all going to survive. We're in it together. We're, you know.
Yeah, I think it's important now to remember, because, like I said, half the country right now is very happy.
Yeah.
But the other half is feeling very defeated
and
betrayed. Many are very scared.
Very.
It's important right now to remember that, you know, defeats come in life, but often they're temporary.
Yeah.
Giving up is what's permanent. So it's important to, you know, stay in the fight, if you will. Continue to make your voice be heard. There were a lot of, you know, still shining lights that we could look to still be hopeful about. People that were out there fighting the fight and speaking for who was, you know, supporting your point of view. So keep looking to those. But remember, you know, light shines in two ways, right? The light itself and then a mirror that can reflect it. So be a light or be a mirror. You know, be the world that you, or be, you know, be that which you want the world to be.
Right.
You know, you care about the environment, act like you care about the environment.
Yeah.
Live your life as though you do.
That's really great advice. I really like that a lot. And I think, I mean, I wanted to get into this a little later, but we're here and I want to get into it of, you know, the traumas that people are experiencing right now with the elections also is just their own personal pain is coming up again and their own personal stories where, you know, example, I'm going to my friend's wedding next week. I'm a bridesmaid. It's a lesbian wedding, and her entire family voted for Trump, and she feels heartbroken, like was in tears, cried herself to sleep. I kept texting her. She was just so scared that 1 week, you know, in a week she would have a wife. A year from now, she might not have a wife. She might not be able to have a kid. And like all the plans that they had are going to shit. Mm. And then just the pain of, and she, you know, was having vocal discussions on Facebook being like, anybody who supported him, including my family, like, you're not my family anymore. And her family was messaging being like, hey, no, we love you and we support you, but we have differing points of view. And they couldn't, I'd hope that they met halfway, because I kept trying to tell her, this is your time, and like, don't let anybody take this moment away from you, because she'll be your wife regardless. She's going to be your wife in a week, and that she'll be your wife. Even if this quote unquote, you know, the law tells you that she's not, she is.
Right.
But it's hard in that moment.
Very hard. Very, very hard. Because some of the things that were said during the election were very, very personal.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of hate talked about, a lot of fear baiting kind of comments, a lot of you know, otherness, you know, comments that made people feel, you know, other than, not included, not wanted, and those can cut extremely deep and feel very personal and bring up a lot of fear in people.
Mm-hmm. And is there anything that we can do to, when we're starting to feel these like really heavy emotions of our past, how can we bring ourselves back for a second and see it objectively, or just remove ourselves a little bit? Like, is healthy detachment like a good thing?
Well, distraction is sometimes a good idea, but no. What you want to be able to do is, in terms of looking back at our old traumas, things in the baggage that you say that we carry, is, you know, if we're going to look back, and I think this was something Maya Angelou said that I've always remembered, if you're going to look back, try to look back forgivingly. Actually, the entire quote is, if you're going to look back forgivingly. If you're going to look forward prayerfully. But most important, be in the present gratefully. Now, that can certainly be a challenge to do when you're deeply hurting. But it's very sage advice, because if you don't let go of the past, it does begin to own your present. And one of the challenges that we have in our lives is learning how to gracefully accept the things that don't go our way, that aren't meant for us. And then go back to what I was saying earlier about, but retain an aspirational kind of attitude. Be the light, you know. Make your voice heard, because otherwise you're stuck in this void or a holding pattern of, well, what do I do? I can't go back, can't go forward. I'm just kind of stuck here. So it's letting go of the past and looking forward positively.
And we touched on this a little bit earlier, but what are the things that are keeping us, and maybe people you talk to, in general, like, what keeps us from letting go of the baggage?
Well, a lot of it is people aren't aware of it, first of all. They just go their whole lives, well, of course, this is just me. Right? You hear people say that all the time. Well, this is just the way I am. So the important thing for people to begin to do is begin to reflect and say, well, why am I the way I am? What events in my life shaped me? And people just assume because they think a certain way, well, there's no other way to think.
Right.
But that's not so either. Right? I'm walking down the street and someone bumps into me. I could have grown up with one, you know, grown up in such a way where my view of the world is, oh, a person did it on purpose. Or, see, bad things always happen to me. Or, oh, you know, this is just, you know, the way it always is. Whereas someone else might say, oh, yeah, the person just, we just bumped into each other. We weren't paying attention. They move on.
Right.
So it's being able to be more, being open to other perspectives, not holding on to so firmly to the ones that you believe.
Yeah. And you also mentioned that people don't like to deal with negative emotions.
Right.
And that's like a big reason nobody likes to even address things that are going on in their life.
No, we typically instead we'll act out.
Yeah.
We're feeling something and we'll go shop or...
Yeah. You know, yeah, that's so true.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Or comfort foods, mm-hmm. or doing shitty things in relationships.
And really the healthiest thing we can ever do is just be present with ourselves and say, wow, I'm really feeling this mm-hmm. right now. But understand that, you know, feelings are temporary. They pass through us. We're not going to always feel this way forever. Mm-hmm. But we have to be able to take the time to stop and be present with ourselves, to catch up with ourselves. Because otherwise we're just kind of swirling around.
Yeah.
Acting on feelings that we don't fully understand, and that can bring a lot of chaos into our lives.
Yeah, it's you know, there's that, I think it's a Zen saying, right? This too shall pass.
I don't know if it's Zen, but it sounds good to me.
Yeah, yeah, I think it was. And I try to remember that all the time, because in the heat of the moment, or when you're in the middle of a tornado, you don't ever see that it's going to end at some point. You don't see.
Well, that's so important. Yeah, it's so true. You know, we often think that just because things are falling apart around us, we think, oh, everything's falling apart, right? But actually, sometimes when that's happening, things are actually falling into place. Mm. And that's our opportunity to see it. You follow?
Yeah.
It's like, well, maybe this is supposed to be happening.
That struck me a lot, because this is exactly what people should be feeling. Like, for this time right now, we were talking about the collective sadness.
There you go.
And it's exactly that. Right now, people think the world is going to come to an end. And this is, you know, it's like if I'm imagining a movie right now, it's like an earthquake and everything is falling off of the wall. And, mm-hmm. you know, they feel like the ground is breaking and the structure is about to come down on them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important to remember what you said.
It is. It's important to remember. Okay, so remember, what can I do with this now?
Yeah.
I now understand we have a deep, talking about our country, we have a deep divide now. Mm-hmm. What can I do with this knowledge? It's not enough for me to just know what's going on, mm-hmm. to see it. We're a deeply divided nation, or in case of our relationships, gee, I keep having this pattern in this relationship.
Yeah.
Whatever that pattern may be, that's causing us a lot of distress mm-hmm. and disappointment. But it's a question of having the wisdom of knowing what to do with this knowledge, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, knowledge and wisdom, right? Knowledge is, you know, knowing a tomato is a fruit, but wisdom is knowing not to put it in a fruit salad.
Yeah.
Right? So it's important to, again, stop, reflect, catch up with yourself and say, how can I be the change that I want the world to be? How can I be the change that I want for my life? Because we're all empowered that way if we take control.
Yeah.
We have agency within us to make choices that bring goodness and positivity to our life. But we also have the opposite if we're not careful.
And how much should people, you know, there is a period of mourning. You go through shit in your life, and sometimes you got to acknowledge and feel that pain for a little bit.
Absolutely.
But we were talking about sometimes people like to stay in that pain because it's comfortable, because mm-hmm. it makes them feel, quote unquote, alive in a way, mm-hmm. even though it's like a
horrible
way.
Well, you can feel very
righteous. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, how, what is a time, is there a time frame that people should mourn for a bit the sadness and the pain that they've gone through, acknowledge it, and when should we be like, all right, it's time to buckle up and, you know.
Well, no one wants to go through an extended, you know, complicated grief where they stay in it for too long. That's mm-hmm. just not healthy, and I never encourage anyone to do that. I try to help people move through the stages mm-hmm. of grief and come to the place, that final stage of acceptance, so they can move on. But anger is a very important part of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, first you deny, right? That's what we all do.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Nope.
It's not the
and
truth.
I've been there, done that, right? So we
yeah.
all have. It's very human. That's part of the human condition.
Oh, totally, yeah.
But you have to get to the anger, of course, and really what's underneath all the anger, all the sadness,
yeah.
the depression, the betrayal, the fear, and just you just got to be in it.
Mm-hmm.
But have the faith and the knowledge to know, I'm taking a bath in all this right now, but it's a necessary one
mm-hmm.
because I need to go through it. The only way out is through.
Yeah. Yeah, I was like that. Mm. I was like that one. Guys, we're going to keep talking about this. and give you some more tips on how to let go of the baggage and the things so that we can be grateful, because it's holiday season and it's Thanksgiving coming up, and we need to be able to find the things that are good in our life, and they do exist. So we're going to come back from this break and talk to you a little bit more on tips of letting go of your baggage. We are back, and I'm here with Scott Tobin, a family therapist from Culver City, California, a good friend and just amazing person. So I'm really happy. Thank you again for being here with us.
My pleasure.
Okay, straight up. Is it possible to ever be baggage free?
No.
Fuck.
Sorry.
So we're all fucked.
Sorry. Can't do it.
Like,
own it. Just own it.
Yeah. So like, how do you manage those expectations? How do we? Yeah, because I think like everybody's on a quest to be complete, like be baggage free. Like how you're gonna let it all go? You can't.
Well, look, the baggage shapes who we are.
Yeah.
It is always a part of who we are. Now, it's not always a part of what affects us, though. That's the difference.
Right.
So that's why it's important to know, you know, what is our baggage?
Yeah.
What are the trigger points? What are the things in my life that really have shaped me, made me think certain ways, maybe behave in certain patterned ways, so that I can adjust that?
Yeah.
Right? And then so I don't continue to bring on, you know, negative things in my life.
Yeah.
But the baggage is there. It's always just, you just learn how to, instead of it being, instead of it being something that you kind of, you know, have, you carry like a backpack on you and a satchel in one hand and a shoulder, like a Sherpa, like you're walking around like a Sherpa of baggage, right? And you're just weighted down all the time. You know, you instead, by reflection and looking at it, you whittle that down just to a small little
carry-on,
if you will, right? And you put it in the closet and or put it in somewhere in a drawer.
Yeah.
You say, well, I know it's there.
Yeah.
But I now know it doesn't have control over me anymore.
Yeah.
It's part of who I am. All these events did happen to me.
Yeah.
They did not happen because of me, like I'd mentioned earlier, but they did happen to me. But I am in control of my life. I can shape the way things happen as much as possible in my life.
There's a book called Road Less Traveled, and the opening line in that book is, life is suffering, and I'm paraphrasing it, but it says, life is suffering, and once you accept that life is suffering, you suffer less.
That's true.
Is that true?
Well, it's what I was saying earlier.
Yeah.
We have to accept that life is going to bring unpleasantness.
Yeah.
And the more you are able to accept that, you're not knocked back by it. So
because
that is very important.
And it's also important to know, because even if somehow you figured out all of the stuff in your past, you're still going to go through new experiences, and some of them won't be positive, and some of them will have a toll on you, and you're going to have to we're all going to just have to accept that these things come and go. But like you said, the important part is not letting it affect,
just expect it and know that you have the internal resources to handle things that will come your way. Oftentimes we think something happens, or we spend so much time asking ourselves, oh my goodness, well, what will I do if this? Well, what will I do if that? How am I going to handle this? And you forget to answer the questions.
Right.
So often, I see this so much in my practice, people ask these questions, and the questions just swirl around in their heads all the time, and they never just stop and answer. Well, if this happens, then, well, I'll just do A, B, C.
Yeah.
And if this happens, I'll do X, Y, Z.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, now I don't need to think about that anymore. I don't want that to happen. I'm worried, but at least now I know I have, I know what I can do and how I will handle that situation, whatever it may be.
Yeah, when I was younger, the very anxious part of me was always doing the what if. It was like my mantra in my head. It was like, what if this happens? What if, what if, what if, what if, what if, what if, what if? And then I was like, all right, so what if?
Right. Eventually
then
you get
this,
tired of it.
Then this is what I'll do.
Right.
Like, okay,
no
what
more
if
F's
he,
to give.
What if
I'm
he
done.
Cheats on me?
Yeah.
Well, then I'm going to fucking break up with him. Like, you know, and sometimes making it action-oriented client to like releases some of that hold it has on you, because you just kind of Absolutely. Like you said, if you could just keep asking yourself the question but never answering or finding the solution, then
you're taking control. You're recognizing your power to act.
Yeah.
To have a plan, to know I have the capacity to handle things. Mm-hmm. I'm also not going to be destroyed by what happens to me. Yeah. It'll hurt. I won't like it, but I'm not going to be completely devastated by it. I will, you know, a new day will come.
Yes. Yeah. Right. The sun will come out
tomorrow, right? There you go.
What's the role of forgiveness in all of this?
Oh, huge. Huge. Can't be understated.
Yeah.
Cannot.
And not just of others, right? Not just forgiving others, forgiving yourself.
Forgiving ourselves, too. We stumble through this life. Mm-hmm. We make mistakes. We err. We do stupid stuff.
Oh, I've done a lot of stupid stuff.
Hello. You know, hey, been there, done that, right? So, we have to forgive ourselves. I mean, just the frailty of the human condition is to just fall prey to all sorts of seductive things, for us to have, you know, shortcomings and to, you know, not know how to handle situations that are new to us. So we have to forgive ourselves and just acknowledge our humanness.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think... when you're young, I feel like we're taught these very blanket statements of like, forgive and forget, that kind of, you know, shit. So mm-hmm. I hate to say shit, but really, like, is that something that you can really do? Like, I do believe in forgiveness, but mm-hmm. what we were saying, like...
Well, forgive and forget is kind of a quick trite.
Yeah.
It doesn't really get into the weeds of what does that actually mean? How do you do that? So, so... to understand what does forgive mean, it really means letting go.
Mm.
You know, someone hurt me in the past. Do I want to hang on to that like I'm hanging on to a hot coal I want to throw mm-hmm. at you? Or do I want to realize if I keep hanging on to this, all I'm going to do is burn my hand. That mm-hmm. person, you know, doesn't care
mm-hmm.
that I'm still angry.
Mm-hmm.
So it's letting go.
Yeah.
So that we can go and move forward in life.
I know for me, when I was young, you know, my parents' relationship wasn't that great. And because it was so unpleasant, it affected me as a young adult, especially in my relationships. And I remember, though, there came a point where I was maybe 27, 28, which was just last year. I just suddenly saw them as humans for the first time.
Right, right.
And suddenly mm-hmm. I was like, mm-hmm. oh,
yeah.
shit, you were fucking, they were 30 and 31 when they got married.
Mm-hmm.
And then my mom had me when she was 34. And I'm like, oh my God, of course you fucked up. Like, what would I know to take care of somebody right now? Like, how could mm-hmm. I do that? Because they're still learning about themselves and they're still learning about themselves as people, their personal mm-hmm. relationship. And then adding a kid and that stress to it. Like, when I started putting it in that perspective, that human, you know, because we look at our parents and we always think they're superheroes. They're perfect.
That's right.
They should
idealized...
be perfect. And how could they not be perfect?
Right. Right.
And when that image breaks, that's, I think, the thing that hurts us the most. But for me, the thing that helped was seeing the humanness of them.
Well, yeah, I think it I'm sure for some it can hurt, but it's also very healing
mm-hmm.
and very helpful for people to realize, oh my goodness, they're just people.
Yeah.
Now I can have a better understanding of them, that they were, and a better understanding of some of the, maybe the mistakes that they made in mm-hmm. their life, some of the things that they did that maybe that affected me. I can have a better understanding of it and forgive them.
Yeah.
Well, of course, they just didn't know, or they were stumbling through life just as the rest
or
of
like
us.
They, you know, they did the best they knew how at the time.
They did the best they knew how at the time.
Yeah.
Right. Right. But that's a significant event in a lot of people's lives where they realize, oh my goodness, yeah, my parents are just people.
It's so true.
Wow.
It's so weird when you can suddenly see them as that.
Right.
It really was a significant moment for me.
Yeah. I remember. For me, I mean. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. What is the also the importance and the power of positive affirmations? Like we were talking about, that was my pen, guys. of being positive, but also... telling yourself a different story, right? A different narrative about your life.
For some people, it's very important. Yeah, some people, you know, that really have a very negative tape constantly running in their head, mm-hmm. that, you know, things don't work out for me, or everyone else always has things easier than me. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm
guys
no good,
are
I'm not worthy.
Guys are shitty.
There you go.
All negative mantras we tell ourselves.
Absolutely.
Right.
Understanding that, wow, I really have this kind of tape running mm-hmm. in my head a lot, and changing that to something more positive is very, very important. But
yeah.
It takes work. It's like, you know, someone could teach me how to do a karate kick, and I could know how to do it intellectually, right? Oh, okay, I just pick up my leg and bonk you on the head, and that's it. Okay. But not so easy to do in practice.
Yeah.
You have to build a lot of muscles over a long period of time in order to be able to lift your foot mm-hmm. and your leg that high and not fall over. Mm-hmm. And it's the same with changing the tapes in our heads.
Yeah.
It's daily practice. Because mm-hmm. the automatic tapes just go. They're reflexes.
Very true.
And it's instantaneous.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to just as quickly... We're never going to really stop that. I mean, never is a long time, but it's kind of always there. But the more we're able to develop the muscles to stop it and change the tape
mm-hmm.
And use our wise mind. It's a phrase I like to use a lot in my practice. Use your wise mind to know that you actually, you know, for someone maybe with low self-esteem, they're not feeling valuable. Say, no, I am a valuable person.
Mm-hmm.
I know that intellectually.
Is it okay just to like lie to yourself in the
Absolutely.
Beginning? Just like just
fake it till you make it. Yeah. Act as if. You bet.
Right.
You bet.
Because there's, have you heard of The Secret? I feel like everybody's heard.
Sure.
Yeah. So the law of attraction or whatever mm-hmm. in The Secret. I always found one concept very interesting in there, which was sort of about the affirmations and how it said, you know, if you tell the universe, I don't want to be late, I don't want to be late, I don't want to be late, I don't want to be late. The universe doesn't hear the don't part. It just hears late.
Right.
And so you end up being late. Mm-hmm. So how it said change it into something more, it's like a passive statement versus an active statement in, you know, mm-hmm. in grammar. So it would be like instead of saying I don't want to be late, say I want to be on time.
Mm-hmm.
And then
I'm going to change habits and change my procedure so that I am on time. Because that's what I want to be.
Yeah.
I like to be on time. Mm-hmm. I enjoy being punctual, and I enjoy how it feels to not have to worry and race somewhere.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I remember trying that in the smallest way in New York when I used to live there on the train, because a train was always so unpredictable, and you didn't know, is it going to stop? Is it going to slow down? Or is your train going to come on time? I didn't know. And so I would just lie to myself. I'd be like, I'm going to be on time, I'm going to be on time, I'm going to be on time. Mm-hmm. And almost any time I ever actually said that, I was always on time. Like somehow I was always on time. And I sometimes still do that here just for like green mm-hmm. lights. If I'm like running late or something, I'm like, I'm going to be on time, I'm going to be on time.
And they magically change for you?
And I don't know what it is.
I want
it's
some
just
of that.
Like the roads happen to be clear that day or just something, you know. And I try mm-hmm. it in like very, very small ways. But I've also learned mm-hmm. to try to do that in relationships.
Well, you know what happens? What it really is.
Don't tell me it's fake. Is it all just in my mind?
No, you have magic powers.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. We can get out of bed in the morning.
Yeah.
And we could say, oh, today's going to be an awful day.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Or, you know, we stub our toe and then we go, oh, today's going to be a terrible day.
Yeah.
Well, what's going to happen?
It's going to be a
we're going to keep,
bad day.
We're going to see a lot of things that are going to reinforce that narrative. But what we're not going to do is see things that contradict that narrative that we pre-decided.
Yeah.
So while you were making green lights turn on,
because I'm a magician.
Because you're a magician, that's right. What also may have been happening, because you were so positively, you know, thinking I'm gonna be on time, was there may have been red lights you didn't notice.
Totally.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, but that's all. You know, half of life is just perspective, right? Like it's what lens we're seeing things with. Like they say, would a rose by any other name.
Smell
it sweet.
Sure, sure.
And so it is so much about, again, I'll bring up the example of what I think a lot of people go through is the trust issues in relationships, you know?
Oh, certainly.
And so we tell ourselves, guys tell ourselves, girls are bitches. Girls say, guys are assholes. and you can't trust anybody. You know, they're always out to hurt me. That nobody actually likes me, or whatever we're constantly telling ourselves.
Very catastrophic, all-encompassing, always, never, everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, using that kind of language. Language is very powerful. Mm-hmm. We have to be very careful the words that we choose, because they will predetermine.
Yeah. And then, like what you said, and then you end up going after those people that feed your narrative. You find the people who are bitches,
or even a person that didn't. Maybe someone that does something that just even slightly measures on your jerk scale or whatever.
Yep.
Well, see, I told you.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that was because everyone's going to do jerky things once in a while, or they're going to be insensitive inadvertently or not thinking. So we have to be careful with the language. Well, some people I've met, I've had a lot of experiences where someone has been hurtful to me or someone has been a jerk. But I do trust that there are people out there that are good, that are nice, that want to treat me nice.
Yeah, when I was...
Nicely.
Yeah, when I was younger, I definitely, because I had such a DTA, like don't trust anybody personality for a long time, that I remember I dated a few people... when I was going through my commitment phobia phase, and I literally sort of accused them of being in way, like, of acting in ways they didn't act. Because in my head, I was like, they don't fucking really like me. They're shit. Like, you know, I just assumed the worst of them because of what I had been through. And like you said, I was purposely picking out the one thing that they might have done that would feed that narrative. And I ended things with them, you know, whatever it was. And to be honest with you, years later, when I first moved to L.A., I started really kind of reflecting on all of this and being like, what have I been telling myself and why am I saying these things? I finally awoke to what I was doing and ended up calling them and apologizing and being like, hey, listen, I'm really sorry. I didn't mean to accuse you of this. That person, one person in particular was like, I know that you weren't this person, and I just wish that you saw that I wasn't trying to do this to you. And I was like, no, I completely understand. I clearly wasn't ready or in the right frame of mind, and I saw what I wanted to see, and that person was kind enough to forgive me, and, you know, I was trying to be kind enough to forgive myself, which was a part of it, like you said.
That's terrific.
Yeah, but this, I feel like...
It just sounds like, you were so affected by the prior relationships and things in your life. It was just too much fear to open yourself up.
Yeah.
So it was safer to be guarded.
Mm-hmm.
Keep a distance.
Yep.
Head something off at the past before it can really hurt me.
Yes.
And then you awoke, and that was beautiful. And, you know, it was very generous to call these people.
Yeah, I just felt like, I didn't want other people going through their life carrying a pain because of me, because I said something about them, and now their perspective is going to be, no matter what I do, a girl is going to find some bullshit wrong. And so I just didn't want them carrying that, so I wanted to correct that as much as I could. But that was my next part. How much is taking responsibility for your own actions in your own trauma, in the things that have happened to us in life? Sometimes we are victims of circumstance.
Absolutely.
And sometimes
we bring things onto us. That is true. So it is important to, again, forgive ourselves, be aware that we engage in patterns, ways of thinking, habits, frailties that have brought something unpleasant onto us.
Mm-hmm.
But turn that into pride, like, okay, now I know better, right?
Yeah.
Because that could easily, really deeply hurt us and make us feel embarrassed, ashamed. But I always try to teach people to turn that into pride. Like, now I know better. Now I know how to do differently.
Yeah. And just be willing to make the changes. You're not going to be able to change anything in your life if you don't want to take action.
Absolutely.
There's not going to be, law of attraction or not. You're not all me, guys. You're not all magicians. No, I'm kidding. We don't have magic powers, and we can't just zap anything into place for us. We have to work towards it, and we have to learn to not be scared of doing the work.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
I'm also reminded of, I think it's just like the law, it's like a law of gravity, but it says energy can neither be created nor destroyed. It can merely be transferred from one state to another.
I understand. Yes.
Right? And I always...
I'm no physicist, but yeah.
Yeah.
I think I've heard that.
And I always remember that in... even on a spiritual level of how our emotions are and our relationships and all that kind of thing. That's why I wanted to call this episode Going From Hateful to Grateful, because it is a transformation. And we can't erase the trauma,
nope.
But like you said, we can transform it into something else.
Yes.
Into another state that won't have the same kind of control over us.
Absolutely. It's a transferring of resentment and anger and hurt into forgiveness,
mm-hmm.
into aspiration, into hope, into self-value,
mm-hmm.
into a feeling of empowerment.
Mm-hmm.
So absolutely, it's mm-hmm. all just a matter of transfer.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, as friends, you always gave me one good piece of advice.
Yeah.
As you said, I remember when my ex and I broke up, he just said, it's okay. It's just, you know, it's a scratch on the knee and you'll be fine kind of thing. And
mm-hmm.
and I love that because it reminded me that you're right. Like, this isn't the end of the world. It's just a scratch on the knee.
Right.
And every scratch on the knee heals.
Right.
And it ends up being okay in the end.
Right.
And
when we're younger, we tend to think that, pain will be forever.
Yeah.
And life altering. But... Yeah, most wounds are temporary, and we pick ourselves up and we move forward.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I love that. you know what we're going to do now is do 5 questions.
Ah, okay.
guys, we do 5 questions. It's our version, our dating version of the Bernard Pivot Questionnaire. I ask every guest the exact same 5 questions, Scott, and I don't say any response. It's just your answers.
Okay.
I ask the question and your answers. You ready?
Go. I'm ready.
Scott, here are your 5 questions. What is the first thing you notice about a potential partner?
Their warmth, their presentness.
That's a nice one.
Yeah.
What is your one deal breaker?
the lack of those things. Yeah.
Coldness. What turns you on?
What turns me on? I was going to say, well, warmth and presentness, but you know what it is? It's actually the joy in the little things, the little, just the general connect, the daily connectedness.
Mm.
You know, when you're just, you have the same beliefs and values about things, and you just, the daily connectedness, you know, even like hating the same things, right?
Yeah. Totally important.
Right, right.
Tell us one of your strengths in a relationship and one of your weaknesses in a relationship.
Okay. Strengths. To be present certainly is a strength. And the weakness, and to always nourish, you know, the relationship on a daily basis. The weakness, though, is kind of on the same, is the flip side of that, where not doing as many of the of bigger things to nourish the relationship, just focusing more just on the daily. The
right.
daily things. But I think the bigger things are also important, too. You know, planning bigger things. And so that would be it for me.
Nice.
Yeah.
And
I rely too much on the partner to do the bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't blame you sometimes. Yeah. Last question. Besides I love you, what 3 words would you want your partner to tell you?
Besides I love you. I see you.
Wow. Nice one.
I see you.
I like
yeah,
that.
Yeah. Like all of you, I get who you are,
yeah.
what you want, what you aspire to, what you care about,
right?
What troubles you, I see you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And before we wrap out, because this is Thanksgiving, what are you grateful for?
Oh, so many things. I mean, just family, health, you know, we live in a great place, you know, here in California.
Yeah.
And even though, you know, I'm grateful that there were all, there are a lot of good people in this world, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I see them every day. Even though we see a lot of negativity in this world, I think that tends to overshadow, you know, the quiet majority.
Yeah.
Really, that just good people wanted to just take care of themselves and take care of each other. So that's what I'm grateful for.
That's amazing. Mace, okay. What are you grateful for? I mean, you could just said me, you know, that would have been nice.
I'm grateful for you. Of course. I'm grateful that
there
you're
you
in my
go.
Life.
Bravo.
What else? Tell us. I'm putting you on the spot.
Yeah, you are. I'm grateful that I was able to go to North Carolina for my grandmother's funeral. That was actually pretty amazing. A lot of things kind of pulled together for that. And I'm grateful that I reconnected with a lot of people that I had not seen in years.
Hey, that's really beautiful.
But so are you.
Nice. And so you know, it's all hair and makeup.
Do you get to answer the question?
What are you grateful for?
Guys, I'm grateful for a lot. I'm grateful for this moment. I'm really grateful for you guys being here. Scott, you came last minute and helped me out for this important episode. I'm grateful for, you know, I'm even grateful for the results of these elections because it brings us to ourselves and it's showing us more of what we need to do. It's shedding a light on our responsibility to ourselves and our responsibility to the world at large. I'm grateful for my family, who I'm going to miss this holiday season because they're not going to be around. But I talk to them every day and I love them. And I'm grateful for friends and even like, you know, there were parts of this year that were shitty, but there were more parts of this year that were positive. And even those parts that weren't as pleasant, I think have changed me to be so much better. And more grateful than before. You knew that I went through an accident. I went through a bad car accident a year ago. Yes. And I'm much improved from that. And even though I still go through some stuff with it, I'm just so grateful to be alive, you know? And whatever happens, I think we're all going to be okay. All of us, not just me. But I think all of us.
Well.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
You know. So thank you, Scott, for being here.
And
for being on the show. How can people find you?
I do have a website, scotttobinmft.com. You can just Google my name and that will come
up. So it's scotttobinmft.com.
Yes.
Right. Thank you. Guys, follow us on socials. We're at Twitter, Facebook, Instagram at Kinda Dating. And Kinda Dating is presented by Meltdown Comics. Come visit us. It's 7522 Sunset Boulevard here in L.A. Thank you for downloading this episode. Please take a few seconds and review us on iTunes. Download the rest of our shows. And remember, there's some of this is a video version. And it's on YouTube at Natasha Chandel. So subscribe, share, and comment. And send us your dating stories, kindadating@gmail.com. And lastly, I know it's tough out there, but just try. Happy Thanksgiving. The show is produced by myself and Mason Booker, who's also the audio engineer. All the video production is done by Bob Erda. Our associate producer is Aisha Holden. Opening music composed by Joe Lorenzetti. And our logo and graphics are by Jenna Yannick and K. Daniel Ellis.